Well, good morning. Welcome to Life Mission Church. Good morning. My name is Tyler. If I have not yet met you, but I think I've met all of you. Really cool, something amazing. You guys want to hear that? You want to hear what? This weekend marks our 11-year anniversary. Yes. 11 years. Right, so our church is kind of moving into the preteen years. Should be great. But what a blessing it's been to be a part of this body for me personally, my family, all this time. And it's crazy to think when we started, I was still in my 20s, seems so long ago, and I only had two kids and one on the way. So much has happened in 11 years. So much life together, so much about learning about Jesus together, and so much about trusting in our Father's sovereign will together. In this community with one another, learning how to do these things better. And I pray that we continue to grow and walk in these things, right? Continue to trust in our good Father, right? Because we know, we've talked about in the past couple weeks, we've been adopted as a child of God, right? God is our Father, and we got to begin to trust in that commitment He has towards us. What an amazing thing. Into our new family tree. Now, not only is this week kind of our anniversary weekend, but also the start of a new series, right? Kind of every year, coming out of Advent, this past Advent, we got to sit under the shade of our new family tree. And because of Jesus, right, we have been purchased, saved, and redeemed into the family of God. And now are co-heirs with Christ, right? The mind-blowing truth we talked about the past several weeks. And so, right, we thought it would be fitting, and once again, as we do many times in the beginning of the year, is to look at the roots of this family tree. What provides for those roots? What sustains it? What causes it to grow? And just as our church's mission states, our strategy, right, that is, we say every week, Matt just said it this morning, is to be rooted in the Word of God, prayer, and gospel community. And these are the roots we'll be looking at these coming weeks, right? Today, we're going to be looking at the Word of God. Oh, I almost forgot. I even forgot this past week as I was talking to Scott this morning. Happy New Year. The other day when I realized it was a new year, I thought I had this strange feeling that something was going to expire, like whether it was my driver's license or my passport. I just had this feeling like seeing that number, 2024, I was like, oh, that's way in the future. So just a thing, check your IDs, check your passports. I don't know. But here we are, 2024. It's crazy. And with a new year, many of us set new goals, right? Or new habits, as Joby mentioned last week. A popular goal that seems to sneak around is eating less sugar. I have yet to hear someone say, you know what, I'm going to eat as much sugar as possible this year. I'm going to increase my sugar intake, right? Because sugar never seems to satisfy. But some of you teens are like, bet. I'm going to eat more sugar. But sugar never seems to satisfy, right? When I consume it, I end up hungry shortly after. And so just like physical food, we need spiritual food. Food that satisfies. In John 6:35, great section. We're going to go into it deeper in a moment. Jesus said to them, I am the bread of life. Whoever comes to me shall not hunger, and whoever believes in me shall never thirst. I am the living bread that came down from heaven. And if anyone eats of this bread, he will live forever. And the bread that I will give for the life of the world is my flesh. And whoever feeds on my flesh and drinks my blood has eternal life, and I will raise him up on the last day. For my flesh is true food, and my blood is true drink. Right now, Jesus, later in this section of scripture, asks his disciples if they're going to leave, because this statement was hard, right? You have to eat my flesh. So a lot of people were like, I'm out. But he asked the disciples, and we know what Simon Peter, or if you don't, Simon Peter responded to him, Lord, to whom shall we go? You have the words of eternal life. So this morning, we're going to see how Jesus is all the sustenance we need. He is our light, our water, our bread, and our Savior. So I'm going to pray right now and ask our Father to be glorified and our Helper to magnify the name of Jesus above all else in our hearts this morning. Let me pray. Father, we praise you and thank you for your living word. Lord, it is active, sharper than any two-edged sword, Lord. Despite hearing verses multiple times, hearing stories multiple times, Lord, it does something new in me every time. Father, when I read your word, Father, by the whole power of the Holy Spirit, would you do something new in our hearts this morning? Would we hear your words anew? Would it refresh our souls? Would it give us life? And Father, would you help us continue pointing each other towards you? Holy Spirit, I pray you do your work this morning, taking these truths into our hearts, helping us believe. Lord, as we sang this morning, help my unbelief. Lord, we want to believe, but help our unbelief, Father. We praise you and thank you. And it's in your Son's mighty name we pray. Amen. Amen. If you guys want to go ahead and turn to John 1, we're going to get started there this morning. I'm going to read a couple verses. Sorry, I too am getting over sickness like everybody else. So a little extra water will be my friend this morning. So John 1, 1 through 5 says, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God, and all things were made through him, and without him was not anything made that was made. In him was life, and the life was the light of men. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness has not overcome it. And also in Psalm 119, 105, it says, your word is a lamp to my feet, a light to my path. Now, this past Christmas season, my kids are getting older. We watched Home Alone a few times. And there's that part where Marv and Harry, right, the bad guys, they're planning to come back when it's dark. And Marv says, yeah, kids are afraid of the dark. And then Harry goes, Marv, you're afraid of the dark too. I always relate to that part. Because darkness can be scary because you can't see. You don't know, and there is no way to prepare for what may be coming. Now, the Bible says, right, before someone is saved into the light, they are children of darkness because you're born into sin, spiritual blindness. You don't know that you're in the dark. You're ignorant to the existence of light. We gave an example before, too, of like toddlers. If you guys remember when you're a toddler, I don't know if you do. But most are unaware of the existence of many things. We talked about like blood. Every small child has blood pumping through their body, allowing them to live, allowing their brains to receive oxygen they need, providing life to all their organs. And for you that are here and are listening, blood is coursing through your body, I hope. But when that child hurts themselves for the first time, they are made aware of what has always been. And Jesus has always been. The Word of God has always been. We saw in our opening verse, right? In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. In Colossians 1:16, for by him all things were created in heaven and on earth, visible and invisible, whether thrones or dominions or rulers or authorities, all things were created through him and for him. Right? But until the blood of Christ spilled from his pierced hands and flowed from his side, spear-pierced side, darkness was all that was available. Darkness brought in by the sin in the garden. And from birth to birth, sin carries itself into the next generation. Right? In Psalm 51, David says, "Behold, I was brought forth in iniquity, and in sin did my mother conceive me." But God promised, right, in the garden to send his son to crush the head of the enemy. Amazing, the promises of Genesis pointing to Jesus. And it's absolutely incredible that we see in Genesis 1, God says, "Let there be light," and the earth is given light by the sun. Right, in John 1:1, the true light, the image of the invisible God, brings the light of heaven to earth. A light that sees in every darkness. Not just the darkness that covers half the earth right now. Half the earth is covered in darkness. But the darkness that dwells in every heart and mind. The Holy Spirit ushers in the light of truth to darkened hearts. Not just the light that causes the trees to grow. Not just the light that warms the earth, but the capital L, light. And it's crazy. In the darkest moment of history, Jesus crucified, that's when light dawned. The word of truth is our light, right? The word of God is light to the born again. In John 1:14, later in that John 1 section, it says, "And the word became flesh and dwelt among us, and we have seen his glory. Glory as the only Son from the Father, full of grace and truth. In him was life, and the life was the light of men." And then in Colossians 1:13, "He has delivered us from the domain of darkness and transferred us to the kingdom of his beloved Son, into the kingdom of light." The word of God is our light. Now, when we begin speaking of creation, right, water hogs the conversation. We've talked about this before. Water covers 70% of the earth, makes up 60% of our bodies. I always thought it was 90 for some reason, but it's 60. So water is pretty important. Without water, there is nothing to drink. No trees can grow. No food can be produced. Water, just like light, is necessary to live. And it's hard for us to think about here in America, right, any first world country, because we can just turn on a faucet with high confidence that water is just going to come out. We buy bottled water. We buy bottles for our water. A lot of them. We have filtration systems that allow us to really use any water source. And because it's so easily accessible for us now, we never think, where am I going to get water? However, there are places that still exist where traveling to get water is the first thing done each day. Whether it's a river or stream nearby, or it's a community well that everyone shares, water is absolutely necessary for life, and it's necessary every day. In John chapter 4, right, we see the story of the woman at the well. Right, and we see that it was going to the well was a normal activity done every day. And I'm going to give a little summary of the section here. We'll just read verses 7 through 14 of John 4. It says, "A woman from Samaria came to draw water. And Jesus said to her, 'Give me a drink.' For his disciples had gone away into the city to buy food. The Samaritan woman said to him, 'How is it that you, a Jew, ask for a drink from me, a woman of Samaria?' For Jews had no dealings with Samaritans. And Jesus answered her, 'If you knew the gift of God and who it is that is saying to you, give me a drink, you would have asked him, and he would have given you living water. The woman said to him, sir, you have nothing to draw water with, and the well is deep. Where do you get that living water? Are you greater than our father Jacob? He gave us this well and drank from it himself, as did his sons and his livestock. Jesus said to her, everyone who drinks of this water will be thirsty again. But whoever drinks of the water that I will give him will never be thirsty again. The water that I will give him will become in him a spring of water welling up to eternal life. Physical water is a must to continue to live. And the living water, Jesus, is the only way we enter into eternal life with him. Physical water satisfies for a time, but the living water satisfies for all time. And we, Christians, those who have confessed faith in him, we have access to the well of eternity. That's amazing, right? The Word of God is a well of immeasurable satisfaction, immeasurable joy, and immeasurable love. Right? We see in Isaiah 55, it says, come, everyone who thirsts, come to the waters. And he who has no money, come buy and eat. Come buy wine and milk without money and without price. And why do you spend your money for which that is not bread, and your labor for that which does not satisfy? Listen diligently to me, and eat what is good, and delight yourselves in rich food. Church, we have to delight ourselves in the rich food of the gospel. We have to delight ourselves in the Word of God and seek his rest, his true rest, his refuge that guards us from all things, and the relationship with the one who died for you. We were all walking around in darkness, right? We were seeking for our thirst to be satisfied. And the Father sent the bread of heaven to be broken for you. Now, in John chapter 6, as we've read a little bit earlier, in the beginning, John mentions in chapter 6 that this is not the bread or the manna that was sent to Moses and Israel in the desert. That bread was for the perishing, right? But Jesus is the bread of life. In John 6:47, it says, truly, truly, I say to you, whoever believes in me has eternal life. I am the bread of life. Your fathers ate the manna in the wilderness, and they died. And this is the bread that comes down from heaven, so that one might eat of it and not die. I am the living bread that came down from heaven, and if anyone eats of this bread, he will live forever. And the bread that I give for the life of the world is my flesh. Jesus is saying that we need to consume who he is. We need to ingest the living Word of God. I love how it says in Ezekiel chapter 3, right? God speaking to Ezekiel. He says, God said to me, son of man, feed your belly with this scroll that I give you and fill your stomach with it. Then I ate it, and it was in my mouth as sweet as honey. The Word made flesh, Jesus, the perfect, pure, holy, powerful Word of God, became human to reveal the Father to us. The true bread of heaven was broken so that not only would our souls be satisfied, but the wrath of God against sinful humanity would be satisfied. And the bread from heaven, Jesus, satisfies every soul who trusts in him and satisfies everything that he has planned. Satisfies his Father's perfect justice. Absolutely incredible. We even spoke about this in our previous sermon series, right? How incredible is the Word of God, the very words of God put on flesh. Incredible. And when we partake of the bread, the true bread, when we drink of the living water, and when we are walking in the light, we are partaking in the grace of God. And when we experience the grace of God, truly our desires change. Right? We desire the lavish feast we have been given in Christ over the garbage this world offers. Our roots draw from the river of living water rather than deserted wastelands. Too often, we're seeking to fill our souls with that which that does not satisfy. We fill up on the sugar for the ever-fleeting moment of sweetness. We fill up on scraps like a wandering son, like a prodigal, when we have a banquet from our Father waiting for us. And at that banquet is King Jesus. And Jesus himself says earlier in John chapter 6, right? He says, "Do not work for food that perishes," right along with Isaiah, "but for the food that endures to eternal life, which the Son of Man will give to you. For on him God the Father has set his seal." Then they said to him, "What must we do to be doing the works of God?" Jesus answered them, "This is the work of God, that you believe in him whom he has sent." And that kind of leads us to whom we want to worship this morning. The Word of God is not just the Word of God. He's a man. His name is Jesus. We know him. We see him. John 1:14, right? "And the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. And we have seen his glory, glory as the only Son from the Father, full of grace and truth." Truth personified. Truth, actual truth, walking around on the earth. That's incredible. Now I'm going to jump to a section of scripture I actually pointed to last year at the same time that I love, and I love the interaction that happens and to see what is going on. So I'm going to jump to John chapter 18 for a verse or two to see an amazing interaction between truth and his own creation. In John 18:37, Jesus is before Pilate. Then Pilate said to him, "So you are a king?" Jesus answered, "You say that I am a king, and for this purpose I was born. And for this purpose I have come into the world, to bear witness to the truth. Everyone who is of the truth listens to my voice." Pilate said to him, "What is truth?" And after he had said this, he went back outside to the Jews and told them, "I find no guilt in him." And I always try to picture myself in that room. Pilate asking the question, "What is truth?" You're looking at him. Your heart only beats because he allows it. Everything was created through him and for him and by him, and you get to speak to him. Oh, we have to taste and see that the Lord is good, that the Lord came to us, the Lord came to save us. I was even talking to Amber this morning and just thinking about this section and thought about Pilate, because he then ordered, right, the guards to guard the tomb because he had said he was going to raise 3 days later. I wonder what Pilate thought after this conversation. He gets word that Jesus is not found. What that did to his heart. Having a discussion with the Word of God. Even saying to the people, "I find no guilt in him." Man, I wish I could talk to Pilate. Church, these words should humble us. The words of truth. We have the words of God. Right, in Philippians, it says, "Have this mind among yourselves, which is yours in Christ Jesus, who though was in the form of God, did not count himself equality with God a thing to be grasped, but emptied himself by taking the form of a servant, being born in the likeness of men. Right? It is through Jesus that all things were created, and it is Jesus that gave himself for the very creation that would crucify him, so that those who crucified him, sinners, would become children of God, adopted into God's family. Nothing that we've done. We've been given a gift of adoption. That's amazing. All right, in John 14, 6, this is one to lock in there. Jesus said to him, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. And no one comes to the Father except through me." Right? We don't need to wonder what God desires for us. For those who have believed in him who God has sent, we don't walk blindly towards righteousness. We get to look at Jesus. Right? In Colossians, he says, "And he is the head of the body, the church. He is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, that in everything he might be preeminent. For in him all the fullness of God was pleased to dwell, and through him to reconcile himself all things, whether on earth or in heaven, making peace by the blood of his cross." The fullness of God the Father is in Jesus. Right? I love how Shell, you read Hebrews 1:3, because it's right here. It says, "He is the radiance of the glory of God and the exact imprint of his nature." We want to know the Father, we look at the Son. So where do we see the light? Where do we go for the living water? Where do we go for the bread that satisfies? How do we get to know truth? Our Savior, Jesus, by his word. Knowing his word, the life and testimony of Jesus, the glory of God revealed through words. We have been given a great gift. I just think of prophets of old, you know, our forefathers of the faith. Like, they didn't have this in front of them. Stories told to them, right? It taught to them, like Deuteronomy 6, teach them as you go this way and this way. Things taught to them, but we have it all here. The Word of God, right? God's heart exposed to us is in the person Jesus. God's words became a man. And we have in this book, right, the testimony of his words. We have God's words available to us. And we need his word. We need Jesus. If you want to know more of Jesus, who is our light, our living water, our bread from heaven, then you need to know his word. If you want to grow in your knowledge of him, water your roots with the living water. I promise you it'll grow. Just like spending time with a person you want to know more. Spending more time in God's word will show you more of Jesus. Jesus tells us, out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. Right? So when you sit and listen, listening, right, you are shown more and more of a person's heart. Thus, when we spend more time reading the Bible, listening to God's words, we know more about the Savior and our Father. We know his heart. Jesus has spoken, right? His heart has been revealed, and it is perfect. It's everlasting light, everlasting water, everlasting bread. Words that not only pierce ears, but pierce hearts for those the Father whom has given him. Right, the words of Jesus pierce hearts. His words save. The word of Jesus is the word of power, and it raises the dead to life. So when I was a kid, if I wanted to learn how to do something, I had to look in a book or a magazine, right? I remember learning how to skateboard or wanting to learn how to skateboard. And in the magazines, it just had pictures of kind of each step, like do this, do this, do this. And I'm always like, but what? How does the board flipping? What happened, right? I don't have the whole story. I just have pictures. But now I can get on YouTube and see a person of all aspects of the process. I can watch a live example in high definition slow-mo. Now, how then do we live in the light? How do we seek the Father's glory? What example do we have? Jesus. We have Jesus. Just as Hebrews 1:3, he is the image of the invisible God, the exact imprint of the Father. Colossians 1:15 also says, he is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn of all creation. I pray as a church that we continue to hold fast to the Word of God. I don't know about you, but this past year I saw how unstable everything else is. Jesus is the only thing that is forever. When he even teaches his disciples how to pray, to pray for the very things we need. He says, pray then like this. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we also forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from all evil. Kevin DeYoung says this about that prayer. He says, praying for daily bread means asking God for all things necessary for life and godliness. Jesus would have us see that we can't live without bread, and we can't live without the Bible for very long either. Don't just give us this earthly bread, but give us the bread that comes from the mouth of God. The Bible informs us and transforms us, right? Romans 12 says it transforms our minds. It changes the ways our mind works. That's incredible. It changes our hearts to desire new things. It changes our hearts to recognize the things that are not of him. In 2 Corinthians 10:5 says, we destroy arguments and every lofty opinion raised against the knowledge of God and take every thought captive to obey Christ. Just like Jesus did when he was tempted by Satan in the wilderness. Right, Matthew 4. And the tempter came and said to him, if you are the Son of God, command these stones to become bread. But he answered, it is written, man shall not live on bread alone, but by every word that comes from the mouth of God. The word of God drives our lives, controls our lives. He inserts himself into the hearts by the Spirit of truth. We do not insert our hearts into Scripture, right? Our hearts do not inform the Word of God. The enemy would love for us to make the Scriptures, or would love to make the Scriptures about you, to make you the center. But when we go to the Word, when we are in this Word, when we are there to seek Jesus, the true bread of life, we are to be satisfied in him alone. We pray that our hearts glory more in him than anything else in all creation. Too often I look to other things to satisfy, to placate, to hide, to feel better. But Jesus is everything I need. True and everlasting satisfaction is only found in Jesus. Nothing of this world can truly satisfy. I just remember when I was younger of thinking of like becoming an adult, thinking of the things I need, thinking of the things that I want and a desire. And now becoming an adult, kind of, and living life, being in his word, I'm becoming to more and more, still struggle with, but I realize more and more that no amount of money, no amount of food, no amount of stuff no amount of sports, no amount of popularity, no amount of self-righteousness. Nothing else can satisfy my heart. The life of Jesus was given to us. The Word made flesh has been given to us. We can pick up the words of God anytime and meditate on them. We can have them like inlets between our eyes. We can memorize for the trials and struggles that will come. We can run to the beautiful light when we find ourselves in the dark. We can drink when thirsty, and we can eat without money and forever be satisfied. Now, as we close this morning, as I often say before church and after, sometimes I guess I say it sometimes, if you don't have a Bible, we'll get you one. You let us know. If you don't have a Bible, we will get you one. If there's not any on the table, you let me know and we'll get you a Bible. Now, I know that the digital age, as we've been in it, right? Many use iPads, Kindles, iPhones, computers to access the Bible. And not that it's bad, but maybe this year try an actual Bible. Just a suggestion. It's not a must-have or must-do. I just know for times that when I use an electronic device, I get distracted. I end up somewhere else where I didn't plan to be, and then I'm behind. My wife and I, we have a Bible plan that we follow. I know Joby mentioned a reading plan that goes through the Bible chronologically. Last week he mentioned that. But the type of plan you follow is just a guide. Right? But the most important thing is that your spiritual roots are taking hold of living water every day. We have to be sure that we soak in the Word so that we can walk in the good works that He has prepared beforehand. Running a marathon without calories would be disastrous. And so will running, and so is running the life of faith without being rooted in the light of truth, being rooted in the living water and eating and taking hold of the bread of life. We need Jesus. We need His living words daily. Give us today, Lord, our daily bread. Give me today, Jesus. Because this Word of God, it is active and living. Just in prayer this morning, I was just amazed at how many times you guys have heard these verses, heard these truths. Maybe you grew up in the church, you hear Bible stories, but it still changes hearts. Every time I read a scripture, it still changes my heart. This Jesus, this Word of God, is our life. We have been purchased by His blood and brought into a kingdom of light. Right in Revelation 19, it says, "Then I saw heaven opened, and behold, a white horse, and the one sitting on it called Faithful and True. And in righteousness he judges and makes war. His eyes are like a flame of fire, and on his head are many diadems. And he has a name written that no one knows but himself. He is clothed in a robe dipped in blood, and the name by which he is called is the Word of God." The Word of God is what secures us. The roots secured to God's Word hold us when the storms do come. And we don't hold on because of our strength. We can't hold on, but He holds us. His eternal security. He is the one that protects our salvation for the day of Christ. Let's pray, church. Father, we praise You for these truths, Lord, that we get to consume, that we get to read, that we get to hear, Lord, that we get to see with our eyes. Father, I praise You for the faithful disciples that have gone before us, that continue to share Your Word, continue to speak about You, Lord, that we may hear them this morning. Father, I'm amazed at how your word is constantly changing my heart. Lord, and I pray as a church, Lord, that we want your word to constantly change our hearts, constantly mold us more and more into the image of the perfect Son. Father, would you help us desire your word? Lord, if there's no desire, Holy Spirit, I pray you provide a desire, a hunger, a thirst for the words of truth. Father, would you help us be rooted in this? Holy Spirit, would you move our hearts towards picking up our Bibles, getting in your word, and resting in the pools of living water, refreshing our souls in this world that is so dry. Father, we praise you and thank you for what you've done, what you've given us. And it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.